Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I am Matthew Nichol, and joining me today, senior linebacker and captain, Dylan Burton. So, Dylan, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, excited to talk.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, it has to be nice to be back on the football field. I mean, back prepping for game day again after, you know, your ACL injury, you know, last year. Let's just start off with that. Like, how you feeling?
Yeah, feeling good. I mean, last year with a football being ripped away so quick, it's definitely tough. And a lot over the off season, it's a constant battle because you want to be with the guys and have fun with them. But getting back, you know, all summer long, I was training back home with a guy who I've trained with for the past 5-6 years. So I was pretty confident coming in. But then as camp, you can't be prepared for camp as much as you think you are. So that was a little tough. My knees just, and with the weather affects them, everything. So it's just getting used to being old. You got to take 30, 40 minutes to warm up and make sure you're putting icy hot or biofreeze on your knees to make sure, you know, you're just lubed up, I guess, keeping it smooth.
Dude, if you're talking like me, I'm almost four. I'll be 43 next month. Like, You can't be saying that.
Yeah, I never thought old. I would. When I was younger, freshman coming in, people are like, "Oh, you're gonna regret it getting old. Everything hurts." And I was like, "Nah, I'll be fine." And then it creeps up on you. It sure does. So,
dude, it does, man. Yeah, my lower back, my lumbar is like, it's constantly in pain. So really, you know, chiropractors love me. My inversion rack loves me. Stretching loves me. Now, how has the road to recovery been? I mean, did you do a hamstring? Did you do a cadaver? How'd you repair the ACL?
I had patellar. So I guess in some respect that what I think is pretty much the standard for football athletes, at least. And I did PT on campus here at PepsiCo. So that was nice. I was right down from the facility with everything. It wasn't as bad as what I thought. I think it's just living with, there's always going to be a constant ache. That's kind of the part that you got to wrap your head around.
I remember when I did mine, I tore my ACL. I mean, it was really about, like, you know, obviously I did my hamstring and
okay.
And they just, you know, wrap that thing up. But it was really about all of the muscles surrounding the knee that really helps to stabilize it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of the different exercises and, you know, strength exercises that you were doing, you know, around that recovery. You know, I would say that, you know, that unknowing aspect of, you know, is it ready to go? Can I cut? You know, once you're on the field and you're in action, like, that mind just kind of goes away. And it's a lot more reflective after the fact, like, God, I just played a scrimmage. I just played a game and man, I was feeling great.
Yeah. It can be quite concerning. Like, I'm only 10 months out, start of this month. So from surgery, and it was pretty concerning 2 months ago. I could barely squat 315 and you got to go up against people that weigh that much and hold your water, you know? And so that it is concerning, but just sticking with the program and really emphasizing hitting those parts that they tell you to, I definitely feel like I have full confidence in it. It's just, I guess this like breakdown aspect, there's a couple times in practice I'll be going and I go to make a cut and I just, my momentum keeps carrying me. So it's a little, that's the part that I got to get used to, is breaking down and change of direction.
Yep. Yeah, you adjust pretty quick. I mean, you'll start to notice that. I think I started doing football activities. I was out in Colorado when mine happened, right around like 9-10 months. So, well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you're talking a little bit about kind of that game speed. How did it feel last Saturday just being in the scrimmage against Loras?
Against Loras, I thought it was really good. Our defense really, the first few drives I was in, we really tore it up. The D line was sound. Pretty much everything was blown dead by the time I got to it. So it, in a way, that was nice, just kind of rub off the rust and get to the spot I need to be to make a play. But going game speed, everything was blown dead right away, so I didn't get too much action, unfortunately. But that, yeah, I mean, in respect, yeah, that's good for our defense.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, it's tough, right? That's such a controlled environment. Like, you know, you're simulating a live game, but you're also, you know, the referees are blowing, you know, plays dead prematurely, right? And, you know, and I was up in the stands watching, and, you know, you could hear a lot of the parents like, oh, come on. You know, they wanted to see that play extend on, but you got to control it. You know, you're trying to simulate it and, you know, and learn, you know, during that time. So, but, you know, I was looking at last year, I mean, because it happened in the Carroll game, right? Kind of early on in the Carroll game. Was that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, in just your six games, you were averaging 9 tackles a game. You know, it even talked about it here on the quick hits that Coach Reed had sent out. You know, returning linebacker Dylan Burton ranked 2nd on the team a season ago with 46 tackles, and he only played just a little over half the season. Right. Man, you've got a nose for the ball. Where do you, I mean, is it really about like preparation? Is it more about just relying on your instincts? Like, why do you feel like you have such a nose for the ball at the linebacker position?
I would say it preparation, yes, but most of the time, I mean, I'm just chasing down people. There's, unfortunately, we had some times where I'm pretty sure most of my tackles are assist, which is perfectly fine.
It was split, actually.
I hate people giving me shit. All that should be me, but I just sprint to everything, going till the whistle's dead. You know, there's been plenty of plays where I'm tracking down people way outside where the corners are, and that's where I'm making a tackle or being the guy to clean it up. So I take that as, especially now, I'm gonna run as much as I can now that I got my knee back. Like, take every advantage you can, because you never know when somebody's gonna pop out and you got to be there to clean it up.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of this defense, right, is predicated around strong linebacker play. So, but no, it's going to be exciting, man, to see you back on the field. And, you know, it was funny as I was talking to Toby earlier in the week. You know, he was talking about how he played linebacker in youth football. Ryan Gustafson was the center. And what about you? I mean, I coach my son's team, his 3rd and 4th grade tackle team. Did you play youth? And then, you know, what like position and stuff did you play kind of growing up?
Yeah, I started out in youth. We had a weight limit all the time, and I was always over the weight limit up until like 7th or 8th grade. So I was always O-line, D-line. Then 7th, 8th grade, started running the ball. I cut down, and I was only eating like a hard-boiled egg a day to make weight and everything. So that was pretty extreme for that age, I guess. But got in the high school. I ran a little bit, but then I really decided I just wanted to focus on defense. So they put me at D end, and I enjoyed that. But then as numbers got short, I got moved to right guard also on the offensive line. So I played right guard and D line or D end. That's right.
Yeah, you run the gambit.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. I love being a pulling guard and just get to ear hole somebody, but it was definitely different coming. I've always wanted to be a linebacker. So freshman year when I get here and this is my first time playing as a stand up player, it kind of felt awkward, and I've never backpedaled in my life. So that it definitely took watching Tim Sweeney and old like footage of how the team plays to learn what type of technique to have and how to move as a linebacker.
Man, oh, Tim Sweeney, man, that's a great one to watch. That's a great one to watch.
I was fortunate for him to come back his 5th year.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's pretty cool. I mean, I stole, I convinced Mikey Alvarado to come over, and he's actually coaching the defense for me. So,
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's been a nice little Augie connection there. Well, hey, it's game week, man. Like, this is exciting. You know, there's a group of guys that I, you know, connect with around, you know, UMHB and Eau Claire and Whitewater and just kind of across the country. And, you know, so we've been talking just a ton about, you know, the games that were going into last night, and then games that were going off this weekend. You know, how do you feel like preparation has been going kind of this week, as you prepare to travel to Simpson?
Preparation's been well. I think Simpson, in a way, they run a lot of formations just like our offense. So us seeing all the formations that our team throws at us, it was kind of not the same stuff, but it's having, we have the formations and idea, but then preparing for, I'd say their best player is probably number 9, preparing for him to be the guy to watch out for if he's coming in a jet or rocket motion, having just stuff like that in the back of the mind. But then also with classes starting up, we wanted to emphasize, like, while you're on the field, you got to be focused up, only thinking about football. And I think we've done a good job preparing for that. We've put in some different formations defensively, which I don't think we'll be in the need of using that specifically, just because it'll be for a different offensive style, but just in case we have that.
I like it. Yeah, I'm always curious to see how the defense, you know, kind of either going into the year over year, even throughout the season, you know, adds kind of wrinkles and different layers to, you know, how they're hiding coverages or, you know, blatantly trying to show a coverage and jump out of it. And, you know, building around, you know, I mean, Reed Haskins, you know, comes from the CCIW, and, you know, he was at Wesleyan, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And yeah, Noah Craycraft, that'd be interesting to see him. And I saw, it looks like they're starting a freshman quarterback here too, as well. So they have a handful of freshmen on a couple freshmen here, it looks like, on the first team. And so it'll be curious. They've got a little bit of a younger, I would say, you know, team.
Definitely.
But well, hey, I mean, let's talk a little bit about just, you know, being a captain, right, specifically. And, you know, it's, you know, you, Braden and Nick and Toby. And I'm always kind of curious to hear about, you know, what you think, like, your leadership style kind of is, right? Like, you've got your competition captains, they're, you know, focused on, you know, strong vocal leadership. Your culture captains, more like locker room guys, right? You've got your kind of chemistry, you know, captains, and then you've got your, like, hey, this is the broader goal and vision of the team, and they kind of bring folks, you know, kind of recenter them around, you know, around that, like, strategic focus that we're, what we're trying to do. How would you, like, kind of sum up how you feel like your leadership style is?
For me, I've always respected the people that, you know, kind of take you under your wing. And that's always made me feel I don't want to let them down. So with regards to that, like the freshmen, younger grades below everything, I'm always going to have a smile on my face, even if I'm having a bad day. Like, I want to be the role model that is someone you can come to. And I hate to see people left out, and I want everybody on the same page. So I feel like I'm the person that I want people to not want to let me down, because I don't want to let them down. So I feel within regard to that, I'm going to talk, if you do something wrong, I'm going to talk it out with you. If you did something great, I'm going to praise you, but I'm not too, like, criticizing or beating somebody, like beating a dead horse or giving them crap all the time. I'm not going to hold a grudge if you make a mistake. But I mean, I will jump down your throat if you're not going to respect what we're doing, or if you're disrespecting someone else on the team.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. I, you know, I talk with, you know, the team I'm coaching, I'm like, effort, attitude, and be a great teammate. Those are the three things you can control. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the only time I'm going to be upset is if you're not doing one of those three things. I mean, and you know, I remember just being a freshman, and you know, it's a culture shock, you know, coming to, you know, coming to college, adding a sport, kind of being on your own, but then, you know, still trying to figure out like, where does your place fit within the team? So I think having, you know, leaders like you and captains like you on the team, you know, can really put at ease and kind of help, you know, include some of those freshmen that are, you know, they're just trying to figure out where they fit within the team, where they can help. And heck, half of it's probably just working on confidence. So,
yeah.
So it's great to have folks like you, you know, on the team. So tomorrow, it's a late start. It's a 6 o'clock start. How does that kind of impact maybe your routine? I mean, I don't know. Are you guys going up tonight? Are you guys going in the morning, or how does that travel schedule work?
I believe we're going tomorrow afternoon, like around that time. I think it's about a 3-hour drive. So if I remember correctly, it'll be around noon, 11 o'clock probably that we head out.
Okay. How does that, you know, so, you know, once you're at the field, like, what does your routine kind of look like for you? I mean, apparently you're old and you need, you know, icy hot and other stuff now, but.
Yeah. I'd say I'm a very scheduled guy. Like, no matter if it's a late game or early game, I'm waking up at the same time. I'm drinking the same stuff every day, water right away, get a little bit of Gatorade or electrolyte, make sure I'm taking my supplements. Coming up to the, I eat about the same thing every time. I'll get some ground meat or vegetables, make sure it's light, a little bit of carbs before the game. But getting there, I'm not too social or talkative. I just kind of sit, have my earbuds in. I'll go stretch on the field, get my hips warmed up, get my ankles warmed up. And then, I don't know, we get about an hour before is when I'll start suiting up. I used to get my wrist taped and think that was like my thing to do, but now I kind of just like taking my own time and making sure everything's feeling right.
What are you listening to in your earbuds?
Oh, everything. Right now I've been really into Disturbed, Stained, Chevelle, just kind of older, not older, it's not that old, like 90s, 2000s.
It's 90s. Rock, so. I mean, yeah, yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, you're looking at 20 to 30 years old. So
yeah, that feels wrong.
Now, what about, I'm always interested to hear, and it's me just doing my post-game research here before we go to tailgate. You know, what about post-game at the tailgate? You know, is there something in particular, like your family cooks? Do you like to, you know, go grab something off someone else's, you know, flat griddle? What about that?
I like to just sit down and reflect, honestly. Give my mom a hug, give my dad a hug. My girlfriend's there, give her a hug. But otherwise, I'm sitting back, going to chill out for 20, 30 minutes, and then I'll get up and go around, see what people got to eat or drink.
Just kind of good, just to kind of calm, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I was thinking a little bit about is, you know, in fall camp, you kind of alluded to it several times, right around, it's a good time to bond with teammates, especially under, you know, underclassmen a bit, you know, the incoming freshmen. And as I was sitting here listening to you talk, it reminded me, we were in the basement of Erickson Hall my freshman year, and we had joke night. And, you know, so all the freshmen had to go tell a joke, you know, and we had our captains were all up front and all of our, you know, seniors and juniors and stuff. And I remember it being like kind of nerve wracking. You know, did you guys do anything similar to that? Like, You have joke night. You have, I don't know, you know, I see like talent night. Like it's good, tasteful fun, but it's about bonding and doing something non-football related. Anything like that, that, you know, you can maybe share about fall camp?
Yeah. So all 4 years I've been here, after the Laura scrimmage or the last scrimmage, we've done a joke night, and it's always fun. It's electric. We see some funny stuff, hear some funny things, learn some new dirt on guys we didn't know. But then at the end, we always do like a karaoke or sing a song together. And it, every year that just tugs, like, it feels right. And you feel like that song, us singing it together, it feels like we're all one family screaming at the top of our lungs terribly. But
all right. Who kind of stood out on joke night? You don't have to recall the joke or anything, but like, who were some folks that just really kind of stood out?
Oh gosh. Like freshmen or,
whatever, whomever, really. I mean, there's a lot of characters on the team. So I'm always kind of curious, like, you know,
I'll name drop here. Carl Thomas, who, I mean, he's a quiet guy. Love Carl to death. Stands right next to me on the field. And he's very talkative to me. But I think after joke night and hearing him stand up there with confidence in front of everybody, you know, he's been opening up more to talking about his experience and kind of finding his leadership role too in that. So I thought that he stood out to me that night for sure.
All right. Now, who's the best singer? You got karaoke going on. Who's got some good
best pipes? Singer? I don't know. At that point in time, it's all one conglomerate of people yelling. Gosh, I don't even. I say Johnny Crawford. He does karaoke on his own. When we're out, he's always up there singing. So I'd say Johnny Crawford.
All right. I like it. It reminded me my freshman year. One of the kids was incoming with us. He didn't have a joke. He just went up there and just did the, from the Goonies, the was it Truffle Shuffle or whatever. And it just killed. I still think about him doing that and can still see him doing that. And it was iconic. Well, hey, what's something, you know, maybe about yourself, that, you know, maybe many people don't know about you?
I don't know. It's always tough. I never really like talking about myself terribly much. I don't know. Put me on the spot with that one.
All right. Oh, we can move on. It's not a big deal.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about your major. So you're a geography major, GIS minor. You know, what kind of interested you in that path?
So it's funny you say that. I was just talking to Coach Ragone, and I told him my major was geography, and he was like, I think you're the only one in the history of him being there that he's heard a geography major. So I wanted to do kinesiology, something within the sports or exercise world, but then I don't know, me and my parents kind of got the look in, and geography, environmental studies, and drones with GIS, that really intrigued me. And I think I could utilize that more after school than what I would with kinesiology or having to be in a biology and anatomy class, because I'm not the greatest test taker within that regard of studying biology and everything. So that wouldn't have been my cup of tea, I don't think. So I kind of went with geography just because of the Michael Jordan quote. I wanted to know where places were, or however that goes.
What does like a career after Augie look like with that type of background?
So within geography, I've kind of leaned towards after school, I want to go into a trade and do what my dad does. He's a power lineman, and it's been very influential on me. And I think while I'm young, I could travel and utilize what I want to, like, work with my hands, be outside. I'm really, I'm really labor intensive and like to do that stuff. So I think after I'll go into a trade right away. But with GIS, I can get my own drone, do land surveying, real estate surveying, making maps for people. I've seen drones now that have pressure washers, and you can pressure wash the roof houses or businesses. So plenty I can do with a drone. And I think that'd be good, a good side hustle or a good way to make money on the weekends while I'm young.
Yeah, similar. Alex Simon, who played baseball and graduated last year, he kind of had something similar, but he would look at like back to original like land surveying and, you know, the, you know, of areas of like lock and dams and things like that, you know, all the way back to like, you know, early 1900s and, you know, plot how that. So that all the, you know, when you're talking a little bit about like the land surveying and you can get into some pretty cool stuff. And my friend I work with, her husband is a lineman, and, you know, so it's like, oh, something happened in Oklahoma, you know, they kind of go out and can help them. I couldn't get that high. I couldn't do some of that stuff, but you know, certainly appreciate the folks that can and do, because it's not easy work, but it's pretty cool for sure when you're dealing with all that voltage, you know, that you're bringing, you know, kind of to and from areas. It's pretty neat stuff.
It's definitely hard on a family, or I mean, my dad's missed plenty of birthdays and Christmas and holidays, all of it. But I think it is just the adrenaline thing and being in like a brotherhood, like what football is, because that's, I mean, with football, that's kind of how it's trained me to be, is rely on your brothers and have that connection. And I think I see that within being a lineman.
Yeah, that's I think it's an awesome choice. Super cool. Now, did you get a chance to do any like internships over the summer or in the past that, you know, were somewhat into that path, or I'm not sure, you know, industry wise?
No, I did not. I was looking like in the fall last year, but after I had gotten injured, I knew I was going to have to focus on, you know, being consistent with knee recovery and all that. So that kind of limited me with what I did, with regards of internships.
Yeah. Well, hey, just two things here. I know, you have to get going here in a little bit, but you know, what advice, you know, would you give or do you give to, you know, whether they're underclassmen or, you know, incoming freshmen that are on the team, what type of advice would you give them?
Advice I would give is do everything to your full potential. Go to class every day. Make sure you're going to the gym two to three times extra a week. Also going in Sunday and the days we have off is huge while you're young. That's when you're growing the most. The coaches really aren't, I mean, they probably are mad at you, but you got to take it with a grain of salt, and every day is a new day. Don't get caught up in chasing girls or doing other things. Just stick to football and have fun with school in a good respect, and it'll all pay off. And by the time you get sophomore, junior, senior, it's a lot easier, and you don't have those worries of not making grades or having to leave Augie, because it really is a great place to be and great atmosphere we have. And with what we want to set up, it'll hopefully be a great time playing football and winning games.
Absolutely. Well, hey, well, lastly, you know, just want to give you the floor here a little bit. If there's anyone in particular, you know, you'd like to thank, whether it's family, friends, coaches, shout outs you'd like to make, anything, just kind of floor is all yours to wrap this up.
Yeah. I'd love to thank my parents. I mean, they are 100% the reason I'm able to do what I love right now and play football and be attentive and lead a team is by the support I have at home, you know, supporting me in what I do. I'd love to thank my grandma for sending cards and text messages every morning, making sure my grandpa's staying alive and something I don't need to worry, him being a wild man at his ripe old age. But yeah, I'd also just like to thank our coaches for putting their best foot forward every day, even though we may have mishaps and everybody does. It's still, it's interesting to see that they always have a goal in mind every day and that we are always chasing that.
I love it. Well, Dylan, thanks again for, you know, joining me here. You know, it's been great to connect with you and you know, certainly good luck this season, obviously good luck this weekend. And, you know, I'll be on the calls, obviously every Saturday at home. But you know, and I say this a lot, but it's like, it truly is a pleasure to watch, you know, you guys play football, do the things that you love, you know, understand the hard work that goes into it, the commitment that goes into it, the sacrifices you make going into it. It's a ton of fun for me. I know it's a ton of fun for, you know, the family and friends to watch you all play. So again, good luck this season. It's been a privilege having you on, man. And
yeah,
go Vikings.
Go Vikes. Thank you again for doing this too. It's awesome that we're able to connect and get our opinions and words out.
Absolutely. Well, it should be, I mean, this is all about showcasing, you know, you guys as the, not just the athlete, but the people, you know, kind of on and off the field as well. So again, I, humbled, I think every time I have these conversations, so always appreciate it.
Like today's episode, make sure to just subscribe to the Viking Press Pass.
Four letters, one year, word. Four letters, one word. Yay!